The Share Pickers Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast here, back by popular demand, it's John Mayer, mining analyst, part of SP Angel. John, do you know, I'm not personally in resource companies, but I do like the macro picture you gave and some of the companies you talk about, because, of course, the macro picture affects everything. You know, when it's bullish on the commodity side, the entire world economy is bullish. And in fact, Dr. Copper is a good example. By the way, John, have we just got you on lunchtime shift? You're just about to start catering for some people there. I can see you in the background. If you're checking this out on video, you can see John is in a very, it's quite a high-tech kitchen there. Where is that, John?
Yeah, I'm in my kitchen at home in central London.
Oh, and
I'm stuck here because I've broken my collarbone. So it's been fixed. The surgeon has put a titanium plate in there, and I'm just keeping it at home to avoid breaking it again.
Do titanium plates? That's on the NHS, I suppose, is it or not? If you're paying private, I mean, does the price of it go up when titanium goes up?
It probably does, but thankfully,
you're frozen, John. I think the titanium's interfering with reception.
Somebody tried to call me. That was annoying. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought it was titanium then, you know, trying to interfere with reception. But there we are. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, let's talk about copper and lithium. Two very hot future-proof commodities, really, aren't they? I mean, you know, like I said, copper, we're going to need more of that. And lithium, we're going to need more of that. And you're saying at the moment they're looking a little bit bullish. Is that right?
They're looking very bullish. And if you say you're not in the commodities sector, Justin, I think you're going to end up, with a lower performance than you should have. Because although it's been a very tough sector to start for a while now, probably for about 3 years, it is definitely on the turn. Copper prices, lithium prices, even rare earth prices are going up today.
I do like that. Look at that. You can see the copper price there, John. I mean, if I just draw a simple line, previously, it struggled to get above the sort of, I don't know what denomination it is, four I've got here. What is that? Tons, kilos? Well, I don't know what that is. But on the chart,
it should be US dollars a ton, I hope.
Dollars a ton, yeah, $4 a ton. And it tried to break that back in July last year. And it didn't quite do it. And he's had a couple of failed attempts to get even near that. But now, look at this. So a couple of days ago, what happened to copper? Why did it rally like that?
Well, a bunch of funds have clearly decided to pile back into the copper market. There's a lot of new long positions taken out, not just on the LME, but on the SHFE in Shanghai. And I suspect we'll see this on COMEX as well. So the fact is, there's quite a lot of growth going on around the world. The Fed is getting ready to start reducing interest rates in the US. And they refer to that as the pivot. So when that happens, I think there'll be new growth probably all over the world as other central banks follow the Fed and start cutting rates back down again. And this is expected to, as I say, create new growth. Importantly, we've also seen reports out of BYD, the Chinese electric vehicle company, that their electric vehicle sales are rising again. Now, a lot of this is to do with price cutting. There's very competitive pricing on new electric vehicles coming out of China. This is forcing everybody else to slash their prices on these new shiny cars. But that is driving new demand, and that's great news, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, do you know what is? I was looking there. I mean, where we've just broken out from here, if you go back, it literally hasn't been this. It was going down last time, but it was almost we're now at almost a year high. Well, April last year was at this high. So we had a big, you know, pull up. Let's look at this sort of how the father went up on that day. So it did a 3.26% a few days back. Was that on Wednesday? A little sort of rest today, yesterday, and it's back up again today. But it seems like it's breaking out of that range that it's been in for, you know, close to a year. So that's good signs, I suppose. All right, so BYD doing well. And Tesla stock. I remember Elon Musk laughing at BYD when they first came out. He did an interview and the interviewer said they're going to be a dominant force in the EV market. And Elon Musk just laughed. He just laughed in the face. Have you seen them? And but now I think they're having the last laugh. I mean, if you look at Tesla price, some people are saying maybe he's selling the stock. But look at this, Tesla, it's got a downward trend, you know. It was up at about $400 a share back in November 2021. It's now $160 a share. So there we are. Okay, lithium then, John. You're saying lithium, I can't get the chart of lithium, but you're saying lithium's rising, yeah?
Lithium carbonate prices hit a low of about $12,000 a ton. We're now at $15,000. It's all turning around really quite quickly. The Chinese slashed production of lithium carbonate. What had happened was they'd overproduced on the battery packs, expecting better sales in January and February. In fact, they had worsening sales numbers in January and February. And remember, we're comparing year on year. So with when they came out of 3 years worth of lockdowns, and there were elevated sales a year ago, but what's really driving the market is this sudden turnaround in the last few weeks, as reported by BYD, that sales are taking off. Now, yes, some of that's to do with the price discounting, but some of it's to do with new confidence with consumers. Now, all is not well in China because we still see property prices coming down in China. We still see consumers being really cautious with their cash over there. Till now, in fact, the American consumers, Western consumers have been relatively resilient. And what we've not really been focusing on so much is what's going on elsewhere in the world, because quietly but surely the other BRICS countries have been growing. Now, let's not include Russia in all of this, but you look at Indonesia, look at Brazil, look at all these other developing nations around them. They are becoming the new consumers that China is selling into. So China is less and less reliant on the West for selling all the products that it's now trying to sell. But it is good at opening up those markets.
Okay, well, let's have a look at one of the plays, for lithium, I suppose, Atlantic Lithium. And it's been struggling with the price, you know, since that short seller on his partner came out, that note, which was unfounded completely, basically. It was a complete red herring. It's struggled. But, of course, that paid in with the lithium price. And I always look at this because I think I do like this as a resource company. And I like the fact that CEO Neil there has a lot of skin in the game. And I'm thinking if lithium's going to take off, this is a very good play on that. Because, like I said, they're going to go into production on in 2025, which less than a year now of starting production then. So that's not too far away, is it?
Yeah, look, I'm with you on that. Atlantic Lithium is definitely one of the better lithium stocks around in the world. The project is all ready to go. The Ghanaian government is right behind it. Management have a lot of skin in the game. In fact, they keep buying more and more shares. And it's not just Neil Herbert, the CEO. It's the CFO. It's other directors. They're all right behind it. It's a good quality spodumene project, and it will have no trouble selling the spodumene to its off-takers. It's backed by Piedmont. Now, we know that Piedmont Lithium in the US has had a few cash issues. They've sold some shares recently. It's possible they might sell some of their offtake, but I think that doesn't matter. I think it's very easy to fund the development of a lithium mine like this in a country like Ghana. So I'm not at all worried about the state of play at Atlantic Lithium. I mean, it's more challenging in so many other parts of the world to get these things up and running. And having sat down with the Ghana government and the Ghana Sovereign Wealth Fund, we know that they are bang on behind this company.
Yeah, I think it'll go on a nice tear once the lithium starts picking up. And, I think it'll do very well, that. Yeah, I do like that. Are there any other lithium plays? I mean, there are a few, aren't there, in the UK? But what comes to mind? I'm more familiar with Land Lithium because I obviously spoke with Neil quite a bit. But thoughts on plays out there?
It's worth looking at Savannah because they're in Portugal. Okay, there's been a bit of fuss in Portugal recently because the president has been involved in a corruption scandal, which is not related to Savannah Resources. It's related to other lithium licenses in Portugal. But of course, there are journalists out there who don't care about the facts. There are people writing stories suggesting that Savannah is somehow involved in this corruption scandal. That, again, is just simply not true. But it's difficult, once those things are out there, it's difficult to countenance them. In the meantime, Savannah's just getting on with the job. And what we notice this week is that their major Portuguese shareholder has been quietly buying shares up in the background. So my money's with his money. And I think this is going to be a very good recovery play for investors who are brave enough to get in there.
Yeah, well, it's starting to recover nicely. Look at that. From literally from the 21st of Feb, it was like 1.6 pence a share. It's now 2.9 pence a share. So it's rallied strongly in the recent sessions. So that's good. Any other news, John? You were talking about a fundraiser at Arc Minerals. I was surprised by the share price. I hadn't looked at that for a while. And it's been taking a hammering. They came up with some good news recently, didn't they? And then also, it's just gone downhill from from November. It was at 4 pence a share. Now it's at 1.85 pence a share. So how much did they raise? Let's have a look here.
I think they raised four and a half million.
So look, yeah, so I think it was 3.5, sticks in my head. 4.14 in aggregate. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at buying some shares in ARC because I believe in exploration in Zambia. I will certainly be investing more money in Zambian exploration. I'll probably put my money into B Metals, which is a Canadian listed company, has some territory closer about, and I've got some private investments in Zambia which are doing quite well. So it's somewhere where we reckon there'll be more discoveries made. And I was looking at the price of ARC, thinking this is quite low, but I'm kind of held back because the board, I wouldn't trust the board to run a corner shop, frankly, anywhere in anywhere, let alone Bradford, for example. So, I just think they're a complete shambles. They don't know how to manage their cash resources. They keep raising. They raise money they waited till they've run out of money, and then they've raised it at a very low level. There's a warrant in there as well. I just don't think these guys know how to run a mining company.
Yeah. Well, and of course, that is key, isn't it? If you've got management who don't seem to know what they're doing there, because I said. That was talked about quite a lot, Arc Minerals. Like I said, that you can see that in a range. It was quite a lot of interest in there. And it was at sort of 3 pence. And it broke down from that. And I don't know what happened there, but it rallied again. And there's obviously rumors they needed a fundraise. And when that sets in, there's rumors you need a fundraise. That's a death spiral, isn't it? Because, you can't, the company can't deny it because you just have to look at the balance sheet pretty much. And so what you should be doing, Larry, a clever company, in a pre-revenue company, so they're clever. You wait till there's share price, strength. And it doesn't matter if you don't need the money. That's the thing. When you need the money, that's when it gets desperate, isn't it? Because everyone knows that. People start selling and you try and get a placing away. And you can't because the share price is just going, it's so volatile, going down and down. And people are worried about that price going down, discounted fundraise. So more people sell. And it becomes more difficult, doesn't it? And in the end, you do a fundraise way below where it was, where the price was in the market like a month ago. So it's almost like managing that, share price cycle, isn't it, in resource companies? Raise into strength,
I think the problem is when you get a bunch of self-serving directors that just don't really understand the junior markets and the way they work, and all they're interested in doing is promoting their other businesses. And for example, Brian McMaster runs Juganda or
Jangada Mines. Yeah.
And some of the stuff they've put out on Jangada over the years on their Pitombras project in Brazil, just complete rubbish. I mean, more red flags than you see on a Moscow parade in Red Square. So what a shambles these people are.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's good. We need people like you to step in and say this, because there are many private investors in the resource sector. You can look at grades and all that stuff, but they're not really experts at it, and you sort of rely on what the company says to a certain extent, unless you get an independent third party saying that's these results aren't that good, or it isn't worth that resource, so, yeah, because it's hard to know as a prime investor, unless you specialize, you know, and spend all your time in that kind of area and that commodity, then you're not going to know. So while you do tend to rely on what the company says, and if they say they're, you know, cracking results and all that stuff, you believe them, you know?
Well, we're here to, you know, call it out and say, call a spade a spade. Look, the good thing is that Anglo-American are effectively running the exploration program. They are the guys spending the money on the ground. They are backing
Rock Minerals,
the company.
Yeah.
But the guys at Anglo-American must really wonder what's going on at ARC when they see this sort of fundraise with all these warrants being sold around the market. It's because, of course, when you add warrants to an equity raise, you're effectively discounting by a lot more than the discount on that you see. It's, you know, yet another overhang on the shares. So, for your average investor, this is just not good news.
Yeah. Nick von Schinding says, we are pleased with the level of support shown from new and existing investors. The next stage, I bet the investors are pleased, especially long-term holders. Not on that discount, they're not. It's funny, and I do like when every you see any placing, it's always oversubscribed. Always, isn't it? Always. You never get every single one. Doesn't matter. Literally, the company's going bankrupt. Oh, we're very pleased with oversubscribed placing. I like that. But
if you're not oversubscribed, you have to pull the placing in effect.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be. Marvelous stuff. Any other bits of news, John?
It's worth looking at the tin market, because the government of Indonesia has been restricting the output of tin. And at the same time, the big tin mine in Myanmar is also closed down. So it looks like the world could start to run dangerously short of tin metal going forwards. And given that tin is used for electrical connections, for just about everything, all the electronic devices that we have tin soldered connections. And you can't really use any less of that than they currently use. So yeah, that's a problem, and that means tin prices are going up. People need to look at, somebody needs to start up some new tin mines in the West, because if Indonesia is going to control the market, then prices could easily double from here. We're at for Cornish Metals. I noticed there is news.
I was waiting
this
for you. This is one of your favourites, John. I was waiting for the Cornish Metals name to drop. But again, looking at, you know, very few resource companies. You have a couple of technical rallies, but a lot of them are at their lows, aren't they? I mean, Cornish Metals, look at that. We are now at 10 pence. If we go back to the peak there, pretty much in January 2022, it was literally at 28, 30 pence it peaked at. So, but it's slowing down. There seems here a nice bit of support. I mean, it does dip down to this, 9 pence level, but bounces back off it. And I'd say 10 pence seems to be, or 9.5 pence seems to be some kind of support here. And look at that. It's trying to break that 200-day moving average, which I'd suggest it's almost like we're seeing support here at 9.5, 9 pence, and maybe a break of 10 would be very good. If it can close, you know, above that, maybe 11.50. And you could see start uptrend. So it seems to me the downtrend may have ended there.
Yeah, I think so. Look, there used to be a support level at about 18p. Yes, that's pulled back, but we have been in a bear market for commodity stocks for quite a while now. And unfortunately, that's weighed on everything, including Cornish, because there were quite decent profits in that stock for people who'd held it for the last 4 or 5 years. So that's what tends to happen, I'm afraid. But actually, the project has been in this no man's land period where they've been dewatering the mine. Now, in fact, that dewatering has been running faster than has been expected, and they've announced that they're actually starting to refurbish the shaft. In fact, we saw them starting to do that when we went on a site visit a few months ago. And so they're moving things forward.
What's happened with the CEO stepped
news,
down?
The news today is that they are. Yeah, I've spoken to Richard Williamson. The board feels that they need somebody who's perhaps more able to run a mining project. So this is all about accelerating the project, I think, cutting costs, pushing things forwards. Nothing wrong with Richard Williams, who's been running it. He's actually a good guy. But I think the board probably feel that there's a, you know, there's a bit more of a, some new fresh blood and perhaps some new skill set to go in there to get this project up and running.
Yeah. What's the market cap here? That's still a 48 million market cap, is that right?
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, all right. Marvellous stuff.
This was the best of the Cornish tin mines over the years, and yeah. You know, we'll be again. This ranks high on the global scale of tin projects. It's right up there.
I think. Listen, I say at the moment I haven't been in resource companies for a while, you know, but I do keep an eye on resource companies because I know when they move, they really move. And you're right when you say if you haven't got exposure to some resource companies, then your portfolio won't perform as well as it should. Because, you know, like I said, they do start to rocket when they start going. And so I think now is a good time to start researching for people, you know, who are looking for good projects. Because I think, you know, once we start seeing interest rates tick down, which has got to be this year, you know, it is going to be this year. Now, regardless of what month it's in, you know, it's no point guessing that game, playing that game. I think we'll start to see movement, you know, in these resource companies. And like I said, I think that's within the next 3 months probably. So I think now is the time to take positions, ladies and gentlemen. Not big positions. You don't need to take big positions because some of these will rally very strongly indeed. But I think it's worth doing some research right now. What do you reckon, John?
I think you're bang on there, Justin. I think that we've suffered the bear market. We're now pulling out of it. Valuations are still low. I think there's a lot of ground to be made up. And I think that starts here.
Yeah. Marvel stuff. Cheers for that, John. Have a nice weekend. And speak you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.